I don't know what you think about the Bible. I don't know how much you read it. I don't know where you keep it. People place the Bibles in different places. Some only pick it up when they want to. Others use it as a filing system. Others use it as a doorstop. Others use it to prop up a picture. I mean, we might as well be realistic about it, won't we? And I guess quite a few of us will have more than one version of the Bible. And I don't know how many of you have got what was known as a family Bible, a great big black thing, and in the front was you recorded the generations, births, dates, who married who. We haven't got one in my family, I know that much now. Probably got lots of, well, I'm not sure we've ever had one, to be honest, no family. But actually, one of the privileges I have sometimes is of taking funerals. And I was doing a visit, and the family proudly showed, on a occasion, showed me their family Bible. And there's something about that history, and it being there. I'm not sure if they ever actually read anything further than the family part, but that doesn't matter. It was there, it was a reminder. And they valued it as something important. And so this morning, I do want to focus on the Bible and on our lives, but I want us to do some thinking. A bit scary, isn't it, to think on a Sunday morning? And if you're sat by somebody you know, like your partner or somebody like that, then feel free to have a conversation. If not, just think about it. And the first question is, what does the Bible mean to me? I'll give you a few moments to think about that. More than one Bible, which is my favourite Bible, and why? I guess many of us have, as I said before, probably a number of Bibles, different versions. And I probably have one that's probably my favourite at the moment to use. And although I do use others, me at the moment is the New Revised Standard Version, because I've got into it, I like the way it's translated. But for a lot of people, it might well be the New International Version. Or for others, it could be the Authorised Version. But it's finding one that we're comfortable with. It's finding one that we feel at home with, and we can find our way around. When I first had this one, I found it quite frustrating. I'm now beginning to appreciate it. Because you don't have many Bibles, and actually it happens in the New International Version, and many others, is that there are, above the chapters, there are headings, and partway through. So if you're reading about Jesus, it might be Jesus heals the man with leprosy. the faith of the centurion, the cost of following Jesus. And not having that, I actually found quite frustrating, because I couldn't just flip through and find what I wanted. But actually what it's done for me is made me think about what's there without a preconceived idea of what other people think is there. So for everyone's different. And as you can see, because this is what I use a lot, it's also my filing system for important things. And the advantage of a lot of Bibles sometimes, which that one hasn't got, is you have cross-references down the middle, don't you? Or at the bottom, that relates to verses. So you can find either a similar passage or a similar verse elsewhere in the Bible. So you can do some joined-upness, if you like. And this one I've got because it's large print. When you get to my age. But it's also got a concordance at the back. So if I want to look at, follow a particular word through or try and find something, I can look it up. So it's actually quite useful. And it's also got the advantage of one or two maps at the back. So we find something that works for us. There's no right, there's no wrong. And I guess even if we don't read the map, we might well have a version or a Bible that we treasure for all sorts of reasons. And I actually picked up one that has been quite important to me over the years. It was given to me by the church I used to go to when I was young. And I used it for many years. You know, it's got horrible plastic covers going a bit funny now. But again it's people's preference, isn't it? Because I must admit, if there's a verse that stands out for me, I tend to underline it. For me, it's in pencil. People have all sorts of ways of doing things. But I guess for me, as well as being God's Word, it's also a textbook in many ways. It's actually helping me to understand who God is, who Jesus is, and also helping me to understand how the Bible is actually a whole in many ways. It's telling a story from the beginning of creation right through to the end of Revelation to the new creation, the new heaven and the new earth. And in between, we have that journey of God's people. And all the scriptures which we can look at back now that see us pointing to Christ. As that reading of John's Gospel was saying, Jesus was saying to the Jews, how you interpret the Bible is up to you, really. You can interpret it in your own way, or you can be open to God's Spirit. And if we're open to God's Spirit, we begin to see how many of the Old Testament passages, scriptures, point to the coming of Jesus and point beyond. But the Jews, only, I won't say all of them, some of the Jews, just didn't want to know. They thought the Bible was sufficient. Their Bible, which is the basically Old Testament, would give them eternal life. And their focus was on Moses, a man of God who gave the Ten Commandments and most other things, and who God took to be with him. And yet Jesus in his teaching was constantly saying he hadn't come to destroy the Jewish scriptures, he'd come to fulfill them, to add layers to them, to move beyond just being laws, to making them living. But what I find so fascinating about the Old Testament is so that so many of what much of what we believe, morally, ethically, how we live, is actually there in the Old Testament. If we read and learn to put it into practice. That bit, the Israelites were told, if a stranger, welcome them. An amazing story about Ruth, the foreigner, who went with her mother-in-law to her home country. and that she went out to pick up grain as the harvesting was going on. Because the tradition was that the owner of the fields would always leave a patch around the edge for those who couldn't afford things to go and collect or get grain for themselves. And it's a challenge for us, isn't it, in our generosity and how we share with others. And we've seen that lived out in so many ways, haven't we? Particularly in terms of the food bank and other ways. So it's discovering how this helps us to live our lives. And interesting enough, the verse that was put at the front of this, for me, was from one reading this morning, 2 Timothy 3, 15, 16. From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, that we may be equipped for every good work. And it's amazing, isn't it? And yet, it's not always that often, is it? But we actually really... Sorry, I'm probably generalising here. And if you feel offended, I apologise. But we don't very often really grab what's in the Bible, a passage, and sort of say, how does it relate to how I live my life? How does it relate to my faith? How does it relate to the life of the church? We're not very good at sharing, are we, sometimes? I think sometimes we're just reluctant. We don't want to make a fool of ourselves. I don't know about you, but it's very difficult. It's very difficult to make a fool. Well, no, it's very easy to make a fool of myself. But we don't like to own up to what we don't know. We don't like to own up the fact we don't understand something. And I guess there's very few of you who would really like to, whoever's speaking, turn around to them at the end and say, I think you got that wrong, because I think it should be that. It's quite a scary thing to do, isn't it? But I must admit, I would find it quite exciting. I might have an argument with you, a disagree with you, but I hope we can do it in love. But actually, it's that learning together. I've also become very conscious that it's this whole thing of where do we get the scope of the Bible. And I was thinking about the church's year, and the only time it really happens is at the service of nine lessons and carols, where each of the reading, starting from Genesis, takes us through pointing to Jesus' birth. Occasionally, in some places, you have that around Easter. And it's how do we take time to grapple with that? There's no easy answer. And the other thing I have had to learn is that the Bible is not in a vacuum. Might sound silly, but it's part of history, isn't it? The people of Israel were just one people among many, isn't it? And so very often that it doesn't sort of, you don't know how things fit in to world history, if you like. And when you read some of the books of the Bible, particularly Old Testament, you sort of think, well, actually, where does that king fit in? Where does that prophet fit in? This is where, if you're into the internet, it's quite useful. But I must admit, I came across this lovely thing a few years ago called Bible Timeline. And it actually tells me, when I've got space to open it out, where things fit together, and that around the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, It was the Middle Kingdom in Egypt. So it's things like that. And actually, who was king in Egypt at that time? And the new Syrian Empire, how that fitted in. And where the prophets? You know, it's taking time. It's actually discovering that the Bible is actually not a dull book, it's exciting. And we also need to remember that I shouldn't have undone it. But so much of the Old Testament was handed down verbally. And so much about Jesus' life was handed down verbally before it was put into writing. It's the stories of the people. And if we look back in our own histories, even our own family, the stories that are handed down, aren't there? On the television programme, was it Who Do You Say I Am? Yeah. Who Do You Think You Are? Some of the well-known people are discovering their roots, if you like. And it's for some people it becomes fascination. My mother started it once, and she reckoned that she was related to Princess Diana. I really don't know. But it's fascinating, isn't it? Because there's a continuity. And myths and stories change over the time in how they're told. We've got so many in this country, haven't we? King Arthur and the Round Table. Robin Hood. And there's so many stories about King Alfred the Great. And there's a lovely one, isn't there? About Joseph of Arimathea, who came to this country. And some say that he actually brought Jesus with him. But depending which version is, did he go across the Mendips? And is his staff really placed in Castlebury? And so it was sharing the stories coming down. Was what was felt was important for God's people. And what we have in the Bible has been shaped over the years to get the form we've got now. A form that enables us to discover more about Jesus, more about God's love, and be able to worship him and be alive. It's quite amazing really, isn't it? And there is a lovely joke, and I hope this one doesn't offend. There's a story of the person who was offered a newer version of the Bible to make it easier to read. And he sort of said, they said, why do I need that? The authorised version is good enough for me. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Did Jesus really read the authorised version? I thought it was Jewish scripture. It was in Hebrew mainly. Some Aramaic, and Jesus was spoken Greek as well. We forget, don't we? And the newer versions of the Bible have adapted to the changes in use of language. So it doesn't stand still, but the truth stands still. And being Bible Sunday, I think the challenge is, are we going to change our habits about what we do with our Bible? Are we going to be willing to make a fool of ourselves and actually own up to when we don't know something? How am I going to read the Bible? Will notes help? Because I know Jill Preddy is very good at ordering Bible reading notes for folk. Well, what do we do? We'll think about that for a few moments. because the Bible is freely available, and you can buy a version in any good bookshop, and you can often buy a cheap version, sorry, a reduced version of the Bible in books like places like Good Books or places like that, discount places. But we take it for granted. But yet, it makes so much difference to so many people's lives. There's a person in China who pastor oversees 8 churches in the mountainous region, and he has to travel on foot over up and down the mountains. But what I hadn't realised was an estimate of 1 million people come to faith each year in China through what they've seen in other Christians and through hearing God's word. It's encouraging, isn't it? And in Niger, in West Africa, to get the good news to so many people is over rough terrain. And it's a country that apparently is 98% Muslim. But yet, one amazing fact is that they tend to trust Christians. Although they can't evangelise openly. And there's a story of a pastor who got stopped by the soldiers. And they were questioning where he was going and where his documents were. But then they saw his Bible. And he said, right, you're okay, we can trust you. Isn't that amazing? I mean, how many other people around that would trust us? How many people would trust me? But final couple of facts to end with. Even during the lockdown, the last couple of years, the Bible societies across the world completed translations of the whole scripture into 66 languages. And, well, the parts of scripture and 6 language groups were able to have a full Bible version for the first time in their own language. 5 were in Africa, and 1 was in the USA. And I sat there thinking, why? Why America? And then I found this absolutely fascinating. The deaf community in America now has a complete version of the Bible in American Sign Language. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing what gifts people have given. And it's amazing how important it is to people. So my prayer for each one of us, as we reflect on the readings and on the Psalms, we will re-engage in new ways, in fresh ways, with excitement at God's word and all that we can discover afresh about Christ and how we live.